So I want to talk about a few things that we haven't touched on in terms of the authority of different levels of poskim. That's going to be half of it, and also the discussion of the potential changes to the authority structure from a halachic perspective and from a practical perspective when there are so many resources where a little bit of research will allow you to have access to sources that that no one else has. You know, Gil's student in his article in the this Orthodox Forum, actually, in the Next Generation of Modern Orthodoxy, notes that there's the slight oddity that creates its own halachic problems, that good balabatim who know computers tend to be more knowledgeable about pressing issues in the halachic community in terms of the range of opinions than poskim. For example, I love Rabbi Willig, he's an amazing posig. He also doesn't really know how to use a computer very well. So I can quickly find out all the shitas that have been presented on a given topic in a given, in a course of 5 minutes, where he has no way of getting it without one of his talmidim finding them and printing them out for him. And this creates a sort of odd situation where he's himself a posig, but I may still have a range of opinions that he doesn't have. And so I want to talk a little about both in general, the question of varying degrees of authority and the possible effects that the current glut of resources has had on the nature of authority. So the first thing I put here is simply a good chunk of Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Beis, which is the chiyuv due to Yerubayim. And you see there, and we'll see it, and we'll read through just the basic halachos, a few things that come about authority. Before we read it, basically, when we're talking about authority in Psak, there are a few issues we have to deal with. Well, what do you think we have to deal with when we're talking just about authority? Right, if the question now comes, can Jonathan, not yet Rabbi Ziering, or even after Sunday, Rabbi, I guess, whatever, right, can I paskin a shayla? So there are three, I think, basic questions we have to ask before we even get into the details of the shayla. Right? What are the three, I think, basic questions we have to ask?
What is a rabbi, or what is a posek?
Right. Meaning, what
are the qualifications?
Right. What qualifies someone intrinsically to be qualified to answer halachic shayla? The second question, which is related but not the same, is: assuming someone is intrinsically capable of paskin hashayla, are there external limitations that would prevent him? For example, his relationship to other poskim, or the existence of other poskim. Right? Meaning, those are two separate questions. Right? Meaning, one is in a theoretical world where there's nobody else, what would qualify someone to paskin hashayla? Second question is, even if in theory you could be qualified to paskin hashayla, does the existence of other poskim mitigate your either responsibility or ability to paskin hashayla? And the third question you have to ask is,
what issues need to be dealt with through the mechanism of psak?
Right, meaning what questions are we talking about? Meaning not every halachic question is actually a psak. Right, meaning, let naniach, I don't want to assume anything, but naniach that almost nobody in this room is qualified to be a posig. Right, whatever exactly posek means, if somebody asked you a simple shayla, let's make this very simple, is this kosher? Because, you know the hechsher from that area, and they simply don't, and you look at the package and you say, oh, it has whatever hechsher, and you recognize it and you know that it's trusted where you live. Right, so you could say, yeah, it's kosher. And there was a few weeks ago, someone was asking me about a German hechsher. I have no idea, but if you ask somebody from Germany, right, or even just people from Europe, so they might know, just, is it accepted, is it not? Right, that's not a psak, despite the fact that it obviously has halachic implications, lemaisa, that if a random person who's not qualified to paskin tells me that it's a trusted hechsher, I'll eat it, if not, not, right? So, when you're dealing with the authority of paskin, three questions. One is, what intrinsically would grant somebody the authority to paskin? Two is, even if someone has intrinsic authority, or could have authority, what limitations could be placed on his authority due to external circumstances. And the third is, what type of shaila are we talking about when we're even talking about paskening? Yeah, Matthew.
Possibly for the issue of Yossi not is, are there varying degrees of authority to relate to various degrees of the binding nature of the psalm?
Right. Meaning that these are just like the theoretical questions, but obviously, yeah, I mean, then there's the question of, does it vary? And do different shailas and different people have different levels? And does that affect how you paskin? What we're not going to get into this week, though in theory maybe we would, is the question of maybe what you're getting at of the ability of an appeals system in halacha, right? Where, you know, even though we talked about at the beginning of the year that normally a shaila is binding, right? Could there be an implied system of appeals where if someone overreaches, then someone greater than him can... Right? That's an interesting shaila, both on the level of Bezdin, right? Whether there's such a thing as an appeals court in Bezdin. This is... Ray Bleich has an article dealing with this extensively, and I think it's contemporary halachic problem 6. But it's something you have to deal with in general in Pesach. Okay. So, first I just put Shulchan Aruch. And I want you to see, first of all, that these three issues are at play. And then I want to flesh out some of the issues. So... Okay, you have to respect your Rebbe more than your father. And if you argue with your Rebbe, and anyone who fights with his Rebbe, is like fighting with the divine presence. And if you disparage, challenge, make fun of, whatever, your Rebbe, so it's like arguing, doing that. The Shechina v'chol maharer acharei rabbo k'maharer acharei Shechina. If you question, you think badly about, your Rebbe is like thinking that about the Shechina. Now, ezuk cholik al rabbo. So, what does it mean to argue in a Rebbe? Kol shekovelo midrash v'yoshev v'doresh m'lamed shelo v'reshut rabbo. Someone who sets up a yeshiva and teaches, presumably halacha here, without his Rebbe's permission. Rabbo kayam, and his Rebbe is alive. Even if he lives in another country, but you're allowed, when the Rama adds, you're allowed to argue on a specific question if you have proof for what you're saying. Now, it's already the first few halachas, right? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet are about questions of the relationship you have to your Rebbe. Now, first, it starts with just the generals. You have to respect him, but already in Halacha Dalin, Sif Dalin, we start getting to this, right? The second question I raised is, could there be limitations of what you're allowed to do based on your relationship to your Rebbe? And that's what we see already. Right here, that you can't set up a yeshiva without the rishus of your Rebbe. Now, the Rama gets to a different question, that, but you do have some authority, even across your Rebbe, if you have recourse to proof against him. Right? So, you already see two things. One is the limitations placed by your Rebbe, but on the other hand, right, what, according to Rama, gives you a level of authority to paskin, even against your Rebbe?
Knowledge.
Proof. Right, proof, knowledge, good. Now, halacha dalet, asher la'adam lahoros lefnei rabba la'olam, you're never allowed to paskin in front of your Rebbe, v'cholam mora lefanav chayimisa, and if you do your chayimisa, the Rama says, "Vafilin tils rishus lo mahani b'toch shlosha parsos," and you can't even get permission if you're within three parsa. Imu rabo muvak, if it is your, right, your main Rebbe. Imu rachok me rabo yud beis mil, if you're 12 mil away. V'shalo adam v'halacha b'derech mekran. Someone asks you a shaila, so sort of agav yochel asher, then you can answer. But to actually set yourself up as a posek, so then you can't paskin until either your Rebbe dies or he gives you permission. And the Rama adds, but that's only by your main Rebbe. But if you are a Talmud Chaver, meaning it's a not fully a Rebbe Talmud relationship anymore, but you are a colleague and student, afilo. Even within three parts that you can paskin. But some say that if you're in front of your Rebbe, you still can't. But feel shalom in front of Mamish, and even not in front of him, even if it's not really in front of him, you should say, you should ask the rabbi. If you're within his city, go, right, you can't paskin instead of him. The Yeshomrim, and some people say to Talmud, Gamor Toch Yud Beis Mel Chayim Misa, that a real, a full student within 12 mil is Chayim Misa, Imumar Chutz Yud Beis Mel Patra of Aser, without, outside of 12 mil, Patra, but still Aser. The Rama adds, Vidavka, Yeshomrim, Vidavka, Ragal Abel Yerushal Talmud, and this is only if the Rebbe comes into the city. If he doesn't usually come there, Rakbi there, Chachrai, only once in a while, Mutter, Kosho Chutz Lashosh Parcells. Talmud Cholver talks Yud Beis Mil Patar Avol Aser Chutz Yud Beis Mil Mutar Avopin Shenatol Rishus Mirav Echad, and even if you get Rishus from one of your Rebbeim Lo Sagi Achidol Rishus Mikol Rabos of Hamufakim, you doesn't work until you get a Heter from all of your Rebbeim or your main Rebbeim V'Hayim Mufakim Lo Ma'irik Shar Rabbi Muvak. And here we define Rabbi Muvak differently than we do in other circumstances. Shirov Chachamasim Mando, it's not just the one who actually learned all your Torah from, or most of your Torah from, because then obviously you couldn't have more than one. Dimken lo efshar lias lo harbe rosa mufakim el ratzulomer talmud gomer, just means that you are a talmud lafuki talmud chaver, meaning not a talmud who is also a colleague. The hainu she nisgada with torah nasa chaver l'rabo. The hainu she ukarav lias gadol karabo miu yesh cholken. But some argues really ikiva rishus merabo echad mahani lahoros chutz l'shal parcels. And some say that if you got permission, you can paskin out of three parcels. Shosh parcels lo mahani levi yishom the chol shein rabba mufak tenshin rochaz mimenu tamad chavaru. And some say that if it's not, if you're not, as long as it's not a rabbi mufak, you are automatically tamad chaver. Right. So there's a lot of possibilities in this Rama. Right. A lot of different deos. But what if you actually just open up some reish beis is actually the main limitation on tzak that you see right at the beginning. Actually, the first thing he talks about is
rabbi.
Is meaning of the three categories I said is actually the relational one, right? Meaning even if you are a posek, the first thing the Shulchan Aruch talks about before you even get to the question of who can paskin is even if you are a posek, there are still limitations, right?
How much of this is out of cover? How much of this is out of something else?
So presumably it's out of cover.
So, but let's say you have no connection with the other person. Meaning, let's say, right, presumably.
So it's Rabbo Mufak, right? It's Dafka, the person who you are a student of, someone who you owe your Torah to.
Yeah, but if you were never taught by somebody, you don't consider this person your Rebbe, but he knows more Torah than you, so then...
So that's not discussed here at all. Right, meaning, that's what I said, right? There's three questions to ask. The second question that we were talking about, which is actually the first in Shulchan Aruch, is even if you're a posek, there could be limitations, but those limitations are almost always... Right, the kavod of your Rebbe, meaning who you learned Torah from. The exception to that in this sif was Be'iro, right? Is that like the Rav, right? The notion of Mord Asra, right, might. Right, I mean, but that's, it's probably the same thing. It's just not, it's also circumstantial in that sense, right? But yes.
But my second question is this saying a different sock is invalid, or is it just saying that you've done nothing wrong?
So presumably it's valid, you're just Chayav Misa, or Patra Avalas, or depending on the case. Right, meaning it doesn't invalidate the Psaq, right? Correct.
It's not respectful. You were
right, now this obviously makes sense, because as I said, right, of the three questions we raise, the question of who's qualified to be a Posek intrinsically, and what is a Psaq, both of those get to the question of fundamentally, right, is this a good Psaq or not? This middle question is not about whether the Psaq is legitimate, but whether it's legitimate for you to give it. Right? There's nothing intrinsically wrong with it, but there's more to Halacha, and that's, I always found it striking, this is actually how the Siman starts. Because you'll see, after this, we get to the next two questions. Right? But actually, the first question from Psaq is, assuming everything's in order, right, still, right, and now, this makes sense, because, and this is why, you know, this is sort of actually good towards the end of the theoretical. One of the things you have to remember about the halachic system is that, right, it's not just about the facts on the ground. It's also about the entire system and respect for the people who transmit it. Right, that's actually, in a certain level, more, you know, front and center. I mean, what allows for the perpetuation of Torah is a certain level of respect for the way it is transmitted. Right, before we even get to details, right, that's sort of step one. Matthew. Okay, fine. Now, this continues. Ein Talmud Yachol Lismach Chemer Makom Rabba. You can't give smicha to somebody when your Rebbe is there. Im lo kibel hanismach smicha miyad harav ha-hu ha-somech al yidei rabbanu machirim v'hu nasa lehem sniv ein lo zor rav l'sharei alav klal mein rabbo. Okay, we'll just skip that halacha for now. Halacha zayin. Now, this is already getting to what is a psak, right? Lo mikri ha-ra Ela bishimora al maaseh shibalafana. Val mshalu talmin alacha kedivrei mi. Yahalomar ma v'daito kemen shinamora al maaseh shibalafana. So first qualification of what is a psak is, psak has to be lemaisa. Right? Anybody, pretty much, has the right to express his opinion. Right? That, there's no limitation on. It's psak, and that sort of makes sense, meaning the actual implementation of halachic theory that requires constraint. Elon?
Oh, no.
You're just stretching? Okay. Fine. The next one, Zivchez, lo mikri hara el v'darashish b'chidish l'shoel, and something is not considered a psak unless there's a chiddush. Avavara yidua shipshut alakol kigon no sein tam lefgam olavatel is a rishishim and elu beilu mutar. But if it's just a straightforward shaila that everyone knows the answer to, of course he picks shailas in Yerideya, which actually most people don't know the answer to, which is why you get these shailas all the time. But take something you do know the answer to, right? That's also not a psak, right? So now we've moved to what we said was question three, which is, what is Ipsak? So, first of all, it's two things. One is, it has to be, has to be Lemaisa. And two, it has to be a Chiddush. Not Sinan Makom. Not me telling you something which is obvious.
What's the point of saying Zayin? Why that? I mean, that has to be a real case, but why is that?
Meaning, if someone asks me a Shaila in, well, let's say, either the Gosh based Medrash or in the YU based Medrash, right? So I'm perfectly allowed to answer that Shaila without getting a Hetzah Hara, without getting Smicha, without getting anything, because it's just Begeder Lumdus, right? But it's already, right, presumptuous of me to take the next step and say, and therefore you should do what I say, right? Because if I'm already going to start telling you what to do, right, then I have to, I don't know, defer to or Lucham Sin. 1 second. Hi. I'm giving shir. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Let's say you're in the Gush, why are you guys doing it? Let's say you're learning a super hat, someone asks you a question, whatever it is, and then they go home and they do that. As in, are they allowed to be so made on what you said, even though you didn't intend to say that as a psak lemaisa?
No. Right, the Gemara says that explicitly. I didn't put that here, but one, the Gemara in two places says that you can't rely on a psak until the person tells you you're allowed to rely on this, right? Because you're and this is also, by the way, in the beginning of Rav Gusman's Sefer. Rav Gusman, in his book, his Sefer on Yivamos, in Contrast to Yerman Yivamos, shows a long piece on Shalosh Nashim B'Shamos V'Moch, which is the central sugya for birth control in halacha. And he prefaces it by saying that none of this is halacha l'maisa, because he's a lamdan, right? So he's not intending for it to, for his authority to be invoked. Now, another posek or someone else who's qualified, it's perfectly legitimate for him to take the opinion and say he agrees with it, and then he can paskin on it. But you can't invoke the authority of the person who told you if they don't want you to, right? You know, it was the same way I had an argument, you know, I told somebody with Stephen that, about drinking on Purim, where we had this argument 6 years ago, we had it again, right, that I'm note to a Rabbeinu Ephraim-esque position, not quite, but whatever, where I think that the story is meant to either reject or at least modify right, the psak of Mechayiv and Islev Asomei. He felt like the Prechadash that, no, the fact that Reb Zera was afraid the next year meant that Rava was still getting drunk, which means that we do paskin like it to an extent. But I remember when we had this conversation 6 years ago, he tried to invoke the authority of the Prechadash against me, and I said, you can't. Because the Prechadash says, even though I think this is right in theory, because of all the kukulin that come out of it, Lamaisa Paschal and Rebbeinu Ephraim. Right? So, those are two different things, right? One is the question of what did the Prechadash think in Lamdas, and the two is, second question is, what did he allow his authority to be invoked for? Right? Amos, you have a question?
That if you rely on someone, like let's say someone asks you a shaila and you don't, and so you're not giving psak per se, and you're not telling them to rely on you, but they do, that's
their problem.
Their problem.
Yeah. Okay. So then, Shulchan Aruch continues. Yesh mi shekazav shekol akosei kol akosei besvarim. Anything that's explicit in books, mi vesegei gaonim yachal oriz mi meirabo, that you can paskin on. Rakol yolo davar mi liba v'yismal reyaz v'damos milsa milsa me'atzmo. But you can't paskin something new. And again, this is getting back to the question of what is ipsak, what's pretty clear in Shulchan Aruch, that what is new, what is a shayla that is called a psak, is a new, something that you actually need to analyze. If you're just spitting back information that's already known, then presumably that is not a psak. Shulchan Aruch continues, Vafrusha Mei Surah, to prevent someone from violating an Isser, could go into Rodham Shaver Avera Bnei Shaini Yodei Shu Azer, Ovin Bnei Rishasa, Mutala Frisha Vlomar Lav Shu Azer, Bnei Rabbah Shalom Malkom Shish Chaloshim and Chalkim Kol Rav. If someone's about to do an Isser, so just stop them. It doesn't matter, right? That's not a psak. That's Vafrusha Mei Surah. I'm going to hold off on your bet for a second, because this is going to be an interesting question. I want to hold it for a minute. Skip to Yud Gimel Yud Daled now gets to the first question I asked, is the objective question of who is allowed to paskin here. Talmud Shlo Gila Rav More, Harida Shote Vegas Ruach, Olav Nemar Kiram Chalam Hipila. If someone is not ready to paskin, and he does, he is stupid, he's evil, he's arrogant, and the Pasuk says about him that he caused many corpses to fall, and people who jump to paskin when they're not ready to, and the people who are not ready, who do try to paskin, extinguish the flame of Torah. And Sif Yudalit is the flip side, and anyone who can paskin and doesn't, so he is holding back Torah from the world and is causing people to stumble. The great number of people that he killed. And then the Ramah here gets into. Now, what the Ramah says, now what is smicha that we have today? Because smicha is not what it used to be, the Mesura, Ishmi Ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadeshi Yidu Kalam Shigil Ra, Umashamur, which is Rabbah Huskamu. So he said, what we get now is smicha is preventing this problem, is someone who is already established as someone's qualified to paskin says that you are qualified to paskin. Right? And that's basically the way we figure it out. Because not everyone is independently capable of figuring out who should be paskin. There's two things going on. One, to know, right, whether you can paskin, and two is the question of your relationship to your Rebbe. The first, right, smicha acts as two things. It's mitilas rishus to allow you to paskin, even though your Rebbe is alive. The second thing it does is it tells people that you're qualified. The second, the heter hara, in the terms of being allowed to paskin from your Rebbe, obviously your Rebbe dies. That disappears, but the other notion that you need some way of telling it, right, that remains a practical problem. Fine. Okay, then there's a little bit more at the end. We'll leave it for now. So, what you see here in Shulchan Aruch, there's three basic questions, right, that have to be asked. One is, who are you qualified to be a posek? Now, I don't want to get into all the issues of what that means, because we actually talked about that a while ago, right? That it needs someone with a certain breadth of Torah and analysis. We'll talk about it a little bit. We are going to. But broadly speaking, the mechanism we've had in place to deal with that problem is smicha, what we call smicha, meaning someone says you're qualified to paskin. The second issue is, even if you're intrinsically qualified to paskin, there are circumstances in which you can't because there are other people around, either you have a direct relation to, but you have kavod to them, and they need to paskin. The third question is, what is a psak? Because all these limitations only apply to practical questions and novel questions, which are actually psak and not what we'd call a tzion makom, just pointing someone to the right direction. Okay, fine. So that's the basic three issues as seen in Shulchan Aruch, okay? So now, yes.
Self-paskining, like, is that maybe a lower level if somebody paskins for themselves?
That was what I held off on. Okay, since you're bringing it, I'll do it now, and then we'll come back. That's if you'd beis, that's in b'nei beis social talmud hutzrichu lo harav v'shalu lo, right? If your own family asks you, lo yoru lehem b'makom rabo, right? So he says you can't paskin makom rabo. But the Piskei Tshuva says, quotes from the Chavos Yair, so he says, I am Tshuvas Chavos Yair, Kazim B'Pshidus, to call Raz, Ezra Heter, Shabbat, L'Adam, Zok, Bezo, Shari, Lahoros, and Barachihu. Right? No. If it's for yourself, if you're capable of giving the Shaila, then none of the limitations apply, because a Psak for yourself is fundamentally different. So, that's actually Machloge, Shulchan Aruch, and Piskei Tshuva, or Chavos Yair. Right? Shulchan Aruch says that, in fact, it might still be a problem. Chavos Yair takes this Gedamer question that it's not. Right? That self-paskening, or even for your family, is a totally different level, because, and if you think about it, it makes sense. Right? The intrinsic problem seems to fall away, because it's not presumptuous to say that I have the right to figure out what's going on in my own house. It's not like I went out of my way to paskin for someone else and show, oh, I'm such a big Talmid Chacham. It was like, you know, the spoon fell in the wrong sink, right? I've learned Yeridea, Aura's learned Yeridea, right? I don't need to pick up the phone and call, you know, everybody in Lone Shavuot who's also learned Yeridea. You know, this is like a Dove's wedding, or we were joking that, like, at some level, you know, you needed your cloth to get into the wedding, you know, things like that. So you look at Pesachei Teruah, right, that's what he really gets at, right? V'afil makom rabu, because he's a Pesachei Erevin, other reish parak hadar, tzuvim rabbanon chalzi l'nafshei, motor mashenkin, lov limo, right, your parents are not part of that, that's really your nuclear family, that you, which, while you're living in your parents' house, is, but when you move out, obviously, it's not. In yishol chelik bozorah, filish mein shvini is motor, and especially, right, you have a part of it, and it really is self-poskening. Fine. Now the Pesachei Teruah himself says, right after Akan Vara Vitema, so I be called the Reator and Chaber Bekan. The Gamal Der Arash Shekasev that Das noted that Akub Dika Sakin Sheina Lechodesh Shalchacham. There is a Hedra Feel Awesome Was the Horus Makom Rabbah Tzarchein Kaid. And he challenges him and he said, no, there are two types of Pesachim. There are those which are purely a function of Kavod, like showing the Shechita knife to a Chacham, which we say is only a function of Kavod. So that presumably you don't have to do because it's in your house. So like you're not showing Kavod, but a regular Shiloh, there might be something more fundamental, is that if there's someone there, you really should ask him. So he challenges the Chavos Yair. So, right, so that issue is right here. Is the Machlokesh, Shulchan Aruch, Tur, Pesachei Teruah, and Chavos Yair. Okay. So those are the three sort of main axes that we have to talk about. Yeah, Yair.
Would there be anything different with indirectly paskening, like directing you to the right authority?
We talked about that a long time ago. I don't think there is, right? Meaning, I think that's, you know, outside the purview of formal halacha already is, right, can I direct you to someone else who has the authority, right? I tell you, this was the story which I've heard from now two Rosh Yeshiva, right, who, when they got an abortion child, directed it to the Tzitzil Yezer, right? I don't think there's a problem with that, you know. Okay, fine. So the next thing I want to do is show you how these questions are, in fact, sort of toke day. We're getting to all the political issues. We're skirting around it till we get to, right, all the fundamental issues that are raised in the partnership minion issue and all those related issues. We've dealt with sort of agav. We did Kavod HaBrios, and then we dealt with we did in another shir. Remember? And now the next one, which is the question of who's postening these shailas. What?
Minag.
Right. Minag. We did it. So now. Right, issue three that comes up. Eventually, we'll just get to the narrow issue, which is really not the issue at all in this topic, as we all know. So that's the question of who can paskin. So here, Reshechter, right? What I think is amazingly straightforward. So what we're going to read is Reshechter's just basic position, I think unfair caricature of Reshechter's position by Rabbi Katz and his position, and then Rabbi Clapper's, I think, correction of the caricature of Reshechter's position, and a clarification, which I think, Bechoru Yoter, I agree with. But you'll see how this is really, these aren't just theoretical issues, these are in fact the issues that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Okay, so Reshechter writes, the beginning of his tshuva on partnership and yonim, l'dati, lo kol avrech, shalom ad v'shiva, ofilu b'kol, ofilu shos machal rav, rashay l'chavadad b'psak halacha. Not every person who learned in yeshiva, kolel, or even as a smicha is allowed to paskin. Because in order to be a posek, you don't just have to know all of Torah, you also need to be balanced in how you learn. Okay? We know Gelang Gonos Elu, and with regards to these things, Afim Yomar Mishu Shiyesh, Lefakbe Gamasha Kazanul El, and even, right now, this is the end of the Tshuva, if you don't agree with what we said, Lemaisa Lo Shamanu Shiskim Lahan, Avachad Migdalei Ador, Amukarim, none of the Gedoilim, right, said that this was Mutter. Vikav, Likval, Shamatim, and Ruach HaTorah, right, to say that this is Matim to the Ruach HaTorah, and Reshechter in the point develops that part of what a posik does is not just paskin on the nitty gritty, but on the spirit of the law. Something we've already talked about. Val kundris piska alacha now ain shum haskama mishum tamachacha mukar b'ge posik, and there's no one who's recognized a posik signing onto it. V'tochen ha'anhago soser Let me just ask. Sneas hadrushim anashe. Okay, then he gets into his fine. Vashalon ha'gan ha'chadash ba'ofen she'otziu la'az al derishanim. Paras kilo rabbi la'ego kahogan ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge'ge' form. And then he makes the claim that we can't do this. It causes us to question our ancestors, and it leads to reform. Okay. So Rai Katz responded. So first he quotes Rav Shechter, and then he says, Barur, it's clear, that someone who can't, that is not able to paskin, shouldn't paskin. And Chazal already screamed about the destruction that can come from this. To the same extent, they criticize the opposite. On a Talmud who can paskin and doesn't. It's interesting. Shamar Shah Sham Chidush Agodot Al Atar Mefarish Milat Atsumim Loshon Gadlu VeChachivut Shel Charan Nireish Shedato Gedat Kavot Dorato Shedayan Eni Yachol Zok Rak Im Nosad Laskama Hu Gam Ken Adam Gadol VeChachuv. So he said the Marsha Al Atar explains the word Atsumim to mean great. So he said that seems to be that he agrees with Rav Shechter that only a gadol ador can paskin. Aval Rashi cholik al marsha, but Rashi argues. Rashi mefereisham atzumim lashon otzemina. By the way, before anyone writes down, this is what Rashi says. The marsha says. This is what Rai Katz says. The marsha says. Rashi says. The marsha says. You'll see in a moment. I think Rai Klapper is right in his critique. Always, when you're reading anything, please check up the sources. And be very careful. Don't take anyone's word for anything. Rashi must think that anyone who has knowledge enough can paskin. And that is what Shulchan Aruch says. Anyone who doesn't is causing a mikshal. And Pesachei Tshuva goes farther and says that those people who paskin from Shulchan Aruch, Abraham, you know them, Tama, and Yen, and they don't know the reason for their paskining. You should scream at them, they're destroying the world. Maybe even the Marsha would be Moda that it was only when before there were no Seikelim, and therefore someone reading Shulchan Aruch had no idea what the reason was for Halacha, so he wasn't allowed to paskin. But now that there are all the Nosei Kelim and you can just look at Shulchan Aruch and figure out all the reasons, so anyone can paskin. And the Marsham herich leminiato back to the from mishpat shalom achosh mishman alseizeh l'dato lo raksha also l'ravam name l'vsog el shu chayav l'ano l'sho alav hachim aher shev shar. And the Marsham says you have to paskin as fast as possible achare shikashel v'inoy adin, because otherwise you'll violate the isser of inoy adin of holding back tzak hua fil menaseh l'ton shulayi hey also l'rav lishon shina tzarayim b'klach shash safek inoy adin. And he goes as far as saying maybe a posik, a rabbi, is not allowed to take a nap in the afternoon, because maybe he'll get a shayla and he'll violate Ino Yadin. V'sever chasidim, kasev yuda chasid, v'kol mi shegilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu davrei nekosva. And the Rehi says that anyone who God reveals to you, a halacha, and you don't write it down, v'yach halachta v'reiz, it goes on mi shegilo lo, you're stealing from God, ki logil halachta v'dechsev, so shem v'riyoso, because Hashem, Hashem only gave you Torah so that you can spread it. Falagi, whatever, I don't pronounce it. It's Sephardi, Kazim, Sivra, Chikkelev, Shin, Lachacham, Mahalim, Daito, Barash, Arayu, Kokovish, Nivuoso, that any Chacham who doesn't paskin when he can, it's like holding back your Nivuah, Shaonso, Misa, and your Chayiv Misa, Gon, Rabbavadi, Zal, Zamazit, Rebbe Chayiv Das, Figam, Rebbe Gittin, Nechrav, Abayed, Beglal, Dayan, Shaloyalo, Omei, Dagit, Daito. Kashur, Zayolai, Chashul, Tain, Machlogit, Haramon, Machov, Shal, Maharal, Chayim, Lowy, Mizibra Maim Chaim, Gashar Ramab, Sikato, and Min Mishida Psikamaru Keset, Achim Aral, and Nagil, the Maud, Yosef Rom, the Matkif, the Ramab, the Harifut, Viz Tamcho, Aladin, Shell, Ain, Ladayan, Elmash, and Evro, V'toein shenachon shekoach shiputi mirukaz, centralized authority, yachlit miruchuk, mei richuk, makom asur ma mutar, ma nachon ma nalachon. He said, maybe this is similar to the machlokes, the Ramah and the brother of the Maral, whether you should have a centralized authority. The Ramah was in favor and the Maral's brother was against. Okay, so now you have Katz's sort of caricature of Rosh Hashechter's position, which is Rosh Hashechter is wrong because Rosh Hashechter says only the Gdolim can paskin, and that's not true. Anybody who's Roi Lo Ra can and should and must paskin. Okay? Now, what, before we get to Rai Clapper, who's going to do this very nicely, I won't read all of it, I just put the whole thing for you. Right, what's obviously missing, right? What did Rosh Hashechter mean, and what did Rosh Hashechter not mean? Right? Without even, I didn't even give the whole thing. What did Rosh Hashechter mean, right? What was Rosh Hashechter writing a tshuva about here, right? Tomorrow, right? Someone asked me a basic yardei shaila. Forget tomorrow. Shaila tomorrow. Monday morning, after the chagas micha. Fine. Somebody asked me a basic yardei shaila. Okay. So I know I learned yardei. I took my bechina the Rabbi Ganak. I got my A in yardei. Right. It's a very simple shaila. It's not a complicated shaila. Right. I answer the shaila. What are the chances that Tuesday morning Rosh Hashechter is going to publish a tshuva telling me that I was cholek al gedol Yisrael and I was mechaba nirash al Torah and I don't know. What are the chances it's going to happen? Probably zero or close to zero. Why? Well, what did Rosh Hashechter mean and what did Rosh Hashechter not mean? Or in other words, what is the argument Rai Katz is putting in Rosh Hashechter's mouth that he is polemicizing against, which Rosh Hashechter probably never meant?
He's claiming that it's a question of authority bichlal, and Rosh Hashechter is probably dealing with authority as relates to certain cases.
Right. Meaning, what we heard he said at the beginning is that these are the three main issues we have to talk about, but there are varying degrees within that. Now, definitely on the intrinsic level, right, presumably there's a difference between a posek can be qualified to answer small shilas and not big shilas. Rosh Hashechter claims and asserts that the partnership minion issue is a very large issue, which admittedly, communally, it is. Right, we can get into technically, halachically, whether it's right, sachakol derabanan, right? But communally, it's clearly a big issue. So Rosh Hashechter makes the claim, which is pretty straightforward, which is a big communal issue should be given over to big poskim, right? What's the argument that a cat puts in his mouth? That all shailas, the only person who's qualified is the Gadol HaDor. And therefore he polemicizes and says, no, any rabbi who's capable of poskening has to posken shailas. Right? So this is where Rai Clapper comes in. Okay? Just for fun, the beginning of Rai Clapper, you'll find this out over the summer, hopefully you know this already. Right? Rai Clapper starts off. In one of the later volumes of his misnamed Hitchhiker's Trilogy, the late Douglas Adams has a character learn two life lessons. A. One should never go back for one's handbag lest one miss an essential opportunity. B. One must always go back for one's handbag lest one blow an essential opportunity. The problem is that the two lessons contradict, and the character never learns which rule applies when. Right, okay, this is a classic beginning to a Rai Clapper Tvartara. You don't really know what this has to do with anything, right? So then he continues. The issue of partnership in Yanim is appropriately generating much polemic and counter-polemic and anti-polemic. But I have no interest in handing more at present. Instead, I'd like to ensure that the discussion, presumably all Hashem Shemayim, generates some Torah Lishma as well. I think this is vital, because in the course of polemic debate, each side runs the risk of sacrificing the capacity for re-examining evidence, lest changing one's mind about what a particular text means be taken as a sign of one's overall commitments or weakening, or as admission that they are insufficiently grounded in the tradition. Right, so the reason he took this on, and this is specifically not polemical, and it's in that spirit that I want to deal with this, right? I think it's important to think about halachic issues, especially since I really want you to get a feel for what Psak is like in the context that they are actually approached, right? In issues that are actually burning in our community. On the other hand, right, I don't want that to blind you to the actual halachic arguments that are being made, which is why I actually cut out everything in the middle about partnership and unanimity in both ends, right? It's clear that that's what they're talking about, but I want to talk about the issue itself. So, Rosh Hashechter's public letter regarding partnership in them emphasizes that not every student has learned in yeshiva or in kol or even received sikha should consider themselves as competent to issue halachic rulings. In response, my friend Yisachar Katz notes that the Talmud cites Rabbi Avoh quoting Rav Huna quoting Rav, etc., is criticizing parallel those who issue halachic rulings they should not, and those who don't issue halachic rulings but they should, and then he quotes the Gemara. Next paragraph. Right, we already saw the Gemara quoted by everybody. I think it is inarguable that Rebbe teaches both lessons. The question is whether or how any of us can reliably know which rule applies to us regarding what areas of halacha, which degree of halachic complexity, and under what political, social, and religious circumstances. So Rebbe Katz argues that, one, Maharsha and Rashi disagree as to whether Rebbe Avoh is criticizing all competent scholars who fail to issue halachic rulings. Rashi are only great scholars. Two, however, Shulchan Aruch rules according to the Rashi against Maharsha. Three, Pesachei Tshuva explicitly make the point that Shulchan Aruch rejects Maharsha. Four, Shechter's critique assumes that the scholar risks more by overestimating than by underestimating their stature. Since the Talmud equated the risks, he must implicitly be following Maharsha against Rashi and arguing the risk of underestimation applies only to scholars who are great. However, scholars who may be competent but are certainly not great have no obligation to rule and therefore run no risk by refusing to do so. Five, however, we follow Shulchan Aruch and Pesachei Tshuva in ruling like Rashi. Therefore, we run equivalent risks either way, and each person must make their own fraught determination as to when to go back for their handbag. Okay? That's the summary of Rabbi Katz's position by Rabbi Klapper. Now Rabbi Klapper's analysis, which I basically agree with. I'm not convinced that Maharsha and Rashi disagree in the way Rabbi Katz argues, or that either Shulchan Aruch or Pesachei Tshuva relate to that alleged disagreement. Here are the texts of Rashi and Maharsha. So Rashi says, "Vatsumim lashon otim enav shesogrim piyem ve'eno morim letzorchei hora." And in the next one, Rashi says, right, the translation, right? Well, Atumim, Amitamim, Acharei Shema, Adamim, La Rote, Hargin, et Duran, Vatumim, Lashon, the Marsha, fine. Vatumim, Kol, Rogez, Machoshe, Shel, Gia, Peir, Rashi, Lashon, Oat, Sam, Enav, Perik, Mashmo. Okay, we read all this inside Rabbi Katz's thing. So the next paragraph. Rabbi Katz reads great and important in Maharsha as adding a qualification beyond reach the level of issuing halachic rulings. But I think Maharsha is merely offering an alternate etymology. The question is how the Hebrew atsumim can refer to those who have reached the level of issuing halachic rulings but not issue such rulings. Rashi argues that atsumim means those who are otsim their eyes. Maharsha argues that this is not compelling, as no other instance in the noun form atzumim in Tanakh means that. Rather, atzumim consistently means powerful, and is often paired with gnolim. Therefore, here, as well as the etymology of atzumim, is great important. In other words, for Maharsha, anyone who has reached the level of issuing halachic rulings is described by this verse as great and important. Rashi, of course, agrees. The remaining question is whether one can use the equation in reverse, include that anyone who is not great and important has not reached the level of issuing halachic rulings. Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'kol chacham shegir l'rav ein amorea, reiz amonei etorah, v'nosin mechshalot lifnei rabim, v'lav ne'mar v'atzurim kol ogea." So Rabbi Katz argues that the opening every is intended to reject Maharsha's claim that only some scholars, namely those who are great and important, are criticized for not issuing halachic rulings when they have reached the level of doing so. However, I argue that Maharsha never made such a claim, and therefore everyone agrees that criticism applies to all competent scholars, and the only question is the definition of competence. The Pesachei Tshuva, which we read, Rabbi Katz, next paragraph, seems to read Pesachei Tshuva as relating to the word every, and arguing that even Maharsha would broaden the franchise today, when the existence of super competence to Shulchan Aruch lowers the risk that merely competent scholars will err. I disagree. I think Pesachei Tshuva and Maharsha here are making a procedural, not a substantive point. Maharsha states that there are some scholars who have reached the level of issuing halachic rulings, but only if they first study the primary Talmudic sources, as otherwise they will not understand the underlying principles of Shulchan Aruch's rulings and misapply them. Such scholars must feel compelled to issue rulings, even when they only have time to look up the Shulchan Aruch, lest they fall into the category of an atzumim or all those she had killed. But this would itself be an error on their part. Pesachei Tshuva notes that Maharsha's argument may no longer apply, since the underlying principles of Shulchan Aruch's rulings are now explained by commentaries on the spot, and can never be understood without researching the primary sources. This discussion has no necessary connection with Maharsha's opinion as to the etymology of atzumim. Nonetheless, both Maharsha and Pesachei Tshuva make points that are relevant to the issue Rabbi Katz raises in the following way. Maharsha states explicitly that a person can be considered competent on the basis of research, even if they might not be competent to answer other questions without additional research. And Pesachei Tshuva states explicitly that a person can be considered competent if they know Shulchan Aruch and commentaries, even though they do not recall the primary source. Each of these can reasonably be considered as setting a fairly low standard as to which scholars are not only permitted, but even obligated, to issue halachic rulings. However, here again, I don't think Rabbi Shachter would disagree. On both Sota 22 and Avodah Zarah 19, the Talmud continues, "V'ad kaba arban shnin, ein va rabba modi Ori b'shavin. Right? How old do you have to be? 40 years old. But the Gemara says, but Rabba paskind. It's only if they are equal in scholarship. In other words, the question is not whether one is obligated to issue rulings in the abstract, it is whether one is obligated to issue rulings when asked, even though someone else more technically competent is available. Put differently, the question is whether competence is defined objectively or relative to the available talent pool. A related question is whether competence can be defined on a sliding scale so that one can be obligated to answer basic questions and yet forbidden to issue rulings on more complex or weighty issues. My own opinion is that competence can be defined relatively and on a sliding scale. Nonetheless, I think it is reasonable to say that there is a standard of competence above which one may and perhaps must express an opinion, even if others more technically competent are available. I also think that technical competence is not the only consideration. Sometimes a technically greater posek may be less aware of the social reality of a particular community, or of hashkafic positions less compatible with those of the community, or simply have done less extensive research than a technically lesser posek. Under such circumstances, again, I suggest that lesser posek may and perhaps must express their opinion. So, what did Rabbi Klapper point out? So first of all, right, I think he is right that Rabbi Katz missed what the source is here. But he also is right that fundamentally he's unfair to Rabbi Schechter's basic claim. Because the basic claim, which is clear, is that there are certain issues that require really big poskim, and those issues should not be given to smaller poskim. And that is pretty obvious. Rabbi Katz is probably right in the sense that one of the critiques that I didn't give you by Rabbi Schechter is that his problem is that at least one of the things he claims is that the reason that people are not competent is because they're poskim who rely on Bar Ilan research or something like that, when a posek should be someone who naturally has everything at his fingertips. This, he points out, is not borne out by the sources, because Pesachei Tshuva's claim that as long as you have Shulchan Aruch with no Sekelim, and therefore you have a basic idea of the reason, not just the law, but the reason for the law, at least on a basic child, you should be allowed to paskin. What I think comes out, and I basically with the right clapper, is that right the two caricatured positions, either that anyone who has a basic knowledge is now chayev, and both Abel and chayev to paskin, or the other extreme, that only the Gadol HaDor can paskin, neither are really true. Really big shailas should go to great poskim. Now, right, Klapper, I think, is also right. That doesn't mean always the greatest posek, right, in the sense of the person who knows the most Torah, right? You could have five different gedolim, right, and in each one they have better expertise in the halacha or better expertise in understanding the reality or the community, whatever, right? But big shailas go to them. Mid-level shailas can be answered by regular poskim. Even poskim are relying on research, right? And that's basically what comes up, right, from a quick skiram, just the basic sources. Okay? Mayor.
Are there any real sources that differentiate between different levels of knowledge past, like, let's say, smicha? Because Shulchan Aruch talks about, like, smicha as a category. But once you have smicha, so there's no, I guess there is such a thing as smicha plus, but there's no such a thing as smicha plus qualification to discuss partnership.
So, yeah, let's skip for a moment. I'll point out, actually, in the original, right, the last source, this is the Gemara. This is the Gemara where we get our notion of smicha from, which is really heter hara. Right? My Rishusa, what is Rishusa? Ki avinach is Rabba bar Chana li Bavel, Amar le Rabchiel le Rebbe ben Achir le Bavel, when Rabba was going to Bavel, so he wanted to get Heter Ra. So he sent his uncle to Rebbe to ask for Heter Ra. So he said, Yore, is he allowed to Pasken Isra Heter? And he said, Yore, he can. Yadin, can he be a Dayan? Yadin, he can. Yatir b'chorot, is he allowed to say when a b'chor has a mum and when he doesn't, and therefore, right? Yatir, yes. Kivinach is Rav l'bavel, when Rav went into Bavel, Amr le Rebchi le Rebbe, so Rebchi asked again, Ben Achol di Rebbe, my nephew is going to Bavel, Yore, can he paskin? Yore, he can. Yadin? Yadin. Yatir b'chorot, al yatir. Right? So, the original case of Heter Hara, what do we already see? That there's limitations, that some people get hara in yore yore, yadin yadin, yatir b'charot, right? Some don't. They only get yore yore, yadin yadin. Now, presumably what that means is, yeah, right? People can be qualified in all areas, in some areas, right? Presumably, right? The fact that you have to ask separately. Now, obviously, there's no, can you paskin on partnership in yadin, right? That's not the shayla you're going to ask. But the notion that there can be a split and things you can pass on and something that you can't, I think is obvious, right?
Okay, but even with that, I mean, that's yeah, but in today's time, no practical way
Correct.
Correct. You don't want to be smicha, now you're
correct, and I don't think it's going to be about smicha. I think in this sense it's going to be, you know, I mean, part of it is, you know, we once asked Reuven Feinstein, right, how do you know if someone's a gadol, right? And he just said, you sort of know, right? Which is sort of the answer, right? Meaning it's a little bit more complex than that. I mean, to some extent, it's you can tell who's a Talmid Chacham with a little bit bigger than you, right? Like, you might not be able to tell the relative strengths of, I don't know, pick, you know, five gedolim directly, right? But, you know, you have a basic feel for where people stand in yeshiva and who's expert, you know, which ramim are expert in psak and can point you to good poskim and which ones are experts in lamdas, right? You know enough to figure that out, right? So you know, at some level there's that hierarchy thing where you sort of understand the person a little bit above you that can guide you in the direction, and they have their guides, etc., etc., right? It's not totally arbitrary. It's not just like, oh... look, the point that's correctly made by everyone, right, is that, I mean, the same question exists in every field of expertise, right? In medicine and engineering and education, right? People ask their superiors, they ask the experts, right? Who's the expert? You know, whatever, right? You sort of figure it out.
There's more of a popular choice, the individual can choose the doctor they trust.
Correct, but that might not be a good choice, right? I mean, they can do whatever they want, but it might be a bad decision. The same is true in halacha. No one's forcing you not to accept posek X, who's a bad posek or a good posek, as your posek, but if it's a bad decision, you might just suffer for it.
Yeah, but then you should say that everybody should do their best as what's a good posek, and you shouldn't have one doctor make some sort of standard. You're only allowed certain doctors or not other doctors.
That I think is true. That's another story that, right? One of the critiques one can have with the Rav Schechter's piece is that he sort of just says on this issue you have to talk to the gedolim without explaining exactly who. That I think is a fair critique, right? The existence of that basic argument that there are shilas which should go to top poskim, I think, is undeniable. I agree that it's very difficult to figure out who it is, and that people should explain, right, what they mean, right?
And there is no way.
Or there's not, or they should at least try to articulate why they feel that that the people who made the decisions are not post-Gib. Right? You at least should articulate. Now, you could, meaning, in the case of Mendel Shapiro, whatever you think about his argument, right, he's not a post-Gib, he's a lawyer.
He probably
admits that. Right, I'm saying he admits that. I don't feel like I'm insulting him. I don't want to talk about anything else, right? But I'm saying, like, so at that level, it's probably true, right? He doesn't, like, his signing onto it, at least on the level of authority, doesn't give it that. That I think that's just true. Okay, fine. So that's where we are so far, is that I think, right, there's these caricatures, but I think what's basically true is that really big shilas really should go to big postkim, just like a medical shilas would go to an expert doctor. Lesser shilas, I think, can go to lesser postkim, and I agree with Ray Clapper that the critique that someone has to have naturally no Torah without research, I think, is just not true. I think the Piskei Tshuva is clear about that. The notion that b'zman hazeh you can are more free to paskin because the resources are at your fingertips through Shulchan Aruch Nozei Kelim does indicate that research is a perfectly legitimate way to at least be educated, at least on small shilas, maybe even on big shilas. Right? It could be that someone who's, you know, a high second tier posek, but a good researcher, could be more expert on a topic than a low first tier posek who's a worse researcher. Right? You could come up with a situation. I don't think that's crazy. Yeah.
Just the mindset, does that mean, when everyone is speaking from YU, they're all going to be allowed to paskin?
I mean, practically, yeah. On your day, technically you get your Yoreb, technically. But yeah, I mean, anyone who learned something and passed the test, I think, should be honest with themselves that they actually know what they're talking about. But in theory, yes.
You mean the level of psak that Shulchan Aruch talks about? The Kiddush level of psak?
So then again, I think it depends on who you are, right? Depends on whether someone has the actual ability to do that, right? If someone doesn't, then they shouldn't. If they do, then they should, right? Why Yusmicha doesn't distinguish? That's the price you pay for having 225 musmachim this year, right? I mean, you know. But that being said, there isn't, like, people know when they're where they are, and people have a relationship with poskim also. Right? People know who rabbis don't trust at all, right? Who isn't trusted at all, and who is trusted to answer a bigger shayla and a bigger shayla, you know. Okay, fine. I want to add something to that. I want to add something just to this point, and then I want to get to one other thing. the connection that Clapper focuses on and Ray Katz focuses on between the chiyuv of a someone who's not of a posek who's capable of poskening to poskin and someone who's not capable of poskening to not poskin. Right, they all point that they're related. I don't think they're just related in the sense that they're two sides of the same coin, just like, you know, there's some people who have to poskin and some people who don't. I think they're two sides of the same coin in the sense that they're actually fundamentally linked in the following way. I made this argument a while ago. Very practically, let's say there's a shayla, any shayla, right? And there are two people in the room. One is ra'i to poskin and one is not, right? And the person who is ra'i to poskin doesn't poskin. Then what's going to happen? The person who's not ra'i is going to poskin, right? I think the connection that the Gemara is trying to make by linking them to the same pasuk is not just that some people have to poskin and some people don't have to, or can't poskin. It's that the reason that poskim who can poskin have to poskin is because otherwise you're left with a halachic vacuum, right? And mimela, people who are not ra'i are going to step up, right? Which means that you always have the problem that when poskim critique people who are not poskining on shaylas, that the fault often lies with them if they haven't done enough to fill in that gap. This was basically Pachot or Yoter, the critique that Chaim Seiman and Yoel Finkelman levied against Rosh Shechter, which was, Naniach, you're right, that the people who are poskining on the partnership minion issues and the gender issues are not right to poskin. But if you want them not to poskin, you have to put out a positive vision of gender roles in halacha and at least put it on the table, right? If you are just silent, because there's more going on here than this local issue. There's a need for people to weigh in. If you don't weigh in, someone else will, and you won't like what they say. But don't only be reactive, right? You have to be proactive in asserting a vision, right? Because otherwise, you can't hold people responsible for having poskim when they shouldn't. I think that is fundamentally true in the Gemara, right? That it's not just that there's a connection. It's that definitional dialogic process is that people who can poskim must to ensure that other people don't take that up. I think this is what's clear in the you just look at the Gemara, which I put here, which has been quoted 100 times, but Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna Barab, Ma'i Dechsev Kiram Chalam Epila, Zeh Talmud Shelo Gyer Lo Ra, Omore. V'ashrim Kol Rugea, Zeh Talmud Shelo Gyer Lo Ra, Ve'in Omore, Ad Kama Ad Mem Shnin, V'arava Ori, So Hasam Bishavim. So the Rambam, the next halacha, leaves out this qualification of 40 years old. And the Kesemish in the Beis Yosef points out that the reason is because there's actually a machlokas, how you understand Ad Arba and Shnin. So if you look, he says, "V'dat the Gemara Amrina." This is the second paragraph in the Kesem Mishnah. Al Haimim Ravad Kama Adam Ron Shnin V'Harava Ori B'Shavin Upeiris Rashi V'Ad Kama Heavy Ro'i LeHara Until Right. How old do you have to be allowed to poskin? Ard Arban Shnin Mishinolad from 40 years when you started poskining. But the Rambam right doesn't. So if you skip to the next page, two lines down, Liyashiv says, so why doesn't the Rambam say it? Yishlomosh Rabbeinu Barif Mefarshim, Dad Kama Hegil Orakai, Ad Kama Rishai L'Akev L'Atzmo Milharo. How long are you allowed to hold yourself back from poskening? V'Kamar Dad Arban Rishai L'Akev. Misham V'Aylach Eino Rishai. So the first thing is, this qualification of Ad Arban Shnin can either be taken by Rashi, which means that you have to be not only knowledgeable, but old, right, to poskin. But the Rambam sheet, I think, indicates something different. That there's only up to a certain level where you're allowed to hold back. Right? It's not, right, it's Ad Arban Shnin, right, you even have the Havamina that you cannot poskin. At some point, you're going to be pushed to poskin. So then he says, so still he should have said it. So four lines from the bottom, Rabbeinu, V'nesha B'doro, Rabu HaKopsimi LaHorot, Kodem Zman, Kamosha Karlaim Tagar, since people in the Rambam's time were poskening when they shouldn't have, Lo Hutzach Lechtov, Ad Kamar Rashai La'akev, Atzmo Milarot, Mishagori La'ra'ah. he didn't have to write anymore. How long should you hold yourself back from paskening? Because if people are paskening when they shouldn't, then forget the 40 years old. We're not going to let you wait to paskin until you're 40. If you're ready to paskin, and there are people paskining who aren't ready, then you've got to get up and do it. Inami mishum devizman doro shirabu rabu akov tim lara kolim zman and misha gil lara in rishay lakev atzmo klal milara pen yak dimenu misha lagir lara. And maybe you're not even allowed to hold back at all. You have to anticipate it, because if people who are not allowed to paskin are paskining, and you think that's a problem, you've got to jump in and you've actually got to assert yourself. So I think again, this highlights this analysis is that it's not just that these are related, it's that part of the halachic process is, first of all, recognizing who you are as a posek, two, who you're not, right? Three is recognizing what are the implications of you not paskening, right? And just like there are circumstantial things that force someone to not paskin, even when they could, such as their Rebbe is there, there are circumstantial things that force you to paskin, even if you otherwise wouldn't have had to, namely, other people are paskening when they shouldn't. Okay, so that's point, I don't know, 2, 3, 5, I don't know what it was. Okay, the third thing I want to talk about very quickly, and this is what we already touched on, is the role of research. The Lecha Mishnah says here, hey Dalid, and you can also look in the Shut Maharik, this before the, it's actually originally a position of the Re, quoted in the Smach Mitzurich, also quoted by Rav Aaron of Lunel, it's the position of the Rebbe Balatosos, which is linear the times of Asher Beinu, the Tzvele, the Ma'id, Amru B'gmar, Aran Shin, Enak, Peta, Bizman, El B'chachma, etc. And then he says, fine. So second line, V'sfir Leila Rabbeinu, end of the line, Dahayinu Dafka Bizman Kadma. This was only originally. Shloha Yu Lomdim LMVP Sofrem. When people learned from their Rabbeinu, Lomipi Svarim, and not from books, K'moshin Yir Em, Yimash Alam Adar, and Mimoshe, Shlomim Pi Agvura. Alpet, Aval Ata, but now, Shatora Bechtav, and Omnim Lomipi Svarim, Vadaid Lobin and Kulei Hailaze. These restrictions are less when most knowledge is book knowledge. And therefore, Lazelu, tell Rabbeinu, Adar Bekach, Elish Yeh Chacham Gadol Levad. And that's why the Rambam got rid of some of the qualifications, and the case in the Lecha Mishnah, and this is originally the Re, makes the claim that really, 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 all this was true in the age before research was possible, in Kavah Homer nowadays. Right? And he said, look, the existence of Svarim and the ability to research mitigates the limitations, because Mimela, most of your knowledge is coming from books, and therefore you're not dependent on other people in the same way, and it, at some level, democratizes Psak. Right? Definitely on the level of Kavod, but maybe even on the fundamental level. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, the last source on this page, makes the opposite point. And he says, "V'yerli, the Gamay Rav Menamalom Ne'alam Kol Eilad, V'yerli, D'zeu B'chol V'dorot Hatnai Mamarayim, Shilim Dem Hayo Baal Peh V'Kabbalah, Rav Mipi Rav, V'yesh Shaya Baki Mishnai V'Rai Torar Bevis, Shaya Baki Kol Kach, Aval Hayo Charev Mubval, Yesh Shaya Matunu Masigali V'Dilchol Lachain, V'Efshu Shaya Lo Kamar Rav Adam Mubvakim." In terms of defining a Rebbe Mubvak, he said, look, in the time of the Ramah, or I mean, not in the time of Ramah, back in the day, it was possible to have multiple Rebbeim, one who taught you Gemara, one who taught you Mishnah, one who taught you Tanakh, because you didn't have Svarim, so you literally learned the basic text from multiple people. But now, right, Ola Magrala, Rav Humogal, Levad, Mishnah, Levad, Aval Bismanim, Ha'ila, but now, Shilimudenu, Bisvarim, but we learn from books, V'kola Talmud, Kazar L'faninu, and therefore we have all the books in front of us, V'chein Chal Yidushim, V'chol Poskim, you can't distinguish, because most of your knowledge in terms of sheer fact and sheer information comes from Svarim, not from people. And therefore, how do you define a Rebbe Muvak? Someone who taught you how to use the information. And therefore, he said, nowadays, you only have one Rav Muvak, and that's the person who taught you how to learn. And then he goes on, so how can you have more than one Rebbe? And this, I think, is the flip side. On the one hand, the glut of information democratizes the halacha. On the other hand, what does it make more important? Having people show you what to do with it. Right? Meaning, when the only Sfarim people had access to was Shulchan Aruch, it's pretty hard to go wrong if that's what everyone's using. When you have access to every Shita that has ever existed, and by the time you get to Bar-Ilan 22, you have access to every article, you know, that has ever existed also, and Encyclopedia Talmudit, which I'm sure within a few years will also be, you know, hyperlinked to every source within Bar-Ilan, so you can look up everything instantly. I'm sure, right? You need someone to show you what to do with it. So I think the glut of information is very, actually does a lot to Psak, but in both directions. On the one hand, it opens up Psak to a certain level because it allows you to have information quickly. On the other hand, it makes it even more important to be taught how to use the information selectively and correctly. For a summary of that notion, right, I just gave you, can read it yourself, right, Bleich, who makes this point very nicely about Psak, right, where being Hagil Lora doesn't just mean knowing a lot, it means knowing how to paskin. As he points out correctly, that the classic Gemara description of someone who has a lot of information but doesn't know what to do with it is a Chamar Nosei Svarim, right? We think particularly badly about someone who just has a lot of information, but doesn't know what to do with it. The Pesachei Tshuva adds yet another aspect to this, which is that since you have this Svarim, since you have it, that also puts an obligation on you. That just like it used to be, you had to ask your Rebbe first, now you can't pass without looking in Svarim. Because once you have the information, it's irresponsible not to use it. Right? So, the glut of information does three things. Right? One is it democratizes halacha to an extent. Two, it makes it even more critical that people not just know a lot, but know what to do with it. So it, in a sense, makes Shimush by a Rebbe more important. And three, it also raises the responsibility of any posek, because if the information is there, you have to at least look at it. Gil student adds another thing, that it might also democratize halacha, not just in the sense that it gives people abilities they didn't used to have, it might also make the number of gedolim less or non-existent, in the sense that there's no such thing as an Isha Eshkolot. And he points out that the phenomenon of the Renaissance man is aptly a thing of the past. It used to be poskim were so great because they knew everything. Right? Rav Aaron also talks about this, that Psak is moving more towards specialization as opposed to one Gadol HaDor, because there's so much information, and so much both in terms of Torah information and to the science that's behind most of this information and the sociology, right? That even the Gedolim need to have a little bit of anava and realize that they might not be capable of mastering everything just practically, because more is being produced than they have time to read. Okay, so to quickly summarize, because we have to go to Mincha, there are three things you have to deal with in Psak. Right? One is, intrinsically, who can paskin? And here I think there's a sliding scale, that really big shaila should go to experts. We pointed out that nowadays with so much information, A, more people can get to a certain level of expertise, but it makes it more important that those people, first of all, actually read the things and be taught how to use it. It also lowers the sort of uniqueness of a gedolim because not, and moves towards the specialization. The second issue is relational, which is, in addition to the being capable of psak, you have to realize that you also have to respect for the system, which means that you have to show deference to your own rebbeim and the limitations that had. We point out the possible limitations when possking for yourself. And the third issue was, what is a psak? In addition to the questions you raised originally, the sliding scale, things which are just siyun makom, right, where there's no independent analysis, that's not even psak, and it's not what we're talking about. What we're really talking about is new decisions, small or big, when we even have to have these discussions. So,